You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is AfterBuzz TV for Californication. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Californication news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues.
Boom.
Boom. See, that throws me off. It just throws me off because Sir Richard Wentworth, our announcer, is sick, and so we had to piece that from last season, season four, that we did for Californication for the intro. But Sir Richard Wentworth, fear not, we'll be back in full force soon. For those of you listening, you may remember me, Phil Svitek, from last season. And if you're watching, here I am. And why don't we go around the room? Because if you're watching on video, which you can at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, or on our brand new website, too, AfterBuzzTV.com. Sorry, shameless plug. We just did shameless. Also another shameless plug.
And the site looks that good. It's worth talking about. That's all.
It is. But an exciting season of Californication. I'm joined. Why don't you, Spicy, take it away. I'm terrible.
So in the building, you have myself, Spicy Mari, and it's perfectly appropriate for a show like Californication.
Right?
And with me, we have newcomer to the show Californication, but also expert at everything, Ronnie Jr.
Okay, $25 goes to you in a little bit. All right. Be in your account tomorrow.
And we have a guest with us today. First ever with the AfterBuzz family. He came in as a guest. We have Bam Erickson.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
AfterBuzz fan, too. He's been
huge,
he's been supporting.
AfterBuzz fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And then once we got the new website, he was like, okay, cool, now I'm in. So there you go. I see how you are.
He wanted to make sure we got the updates right and everything.
Right. Do you watch the show all the time?
Actually, I watch it periodically.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of TV, so I like TV, period.
This was a dirty one. I mean, they're all dirty, or they're all crazy. Or it's an interesting show, for sure.
And Phil?
Hello, guys. Hello, guys. I'm glad to have a fan like Spicy with me, and I'm glad to have sort of a different take from just an avid TV fan such as Bam and Ronnie. Now, I just want to talk about this. Spicy knows that we come into the events 3 years after the after what happened, and that was kind of the build up. That was kind of the promos, and we actually had a chance to talk with Evan Handler, who plays Runkle at the Emmys gift suite. And you know, that's how they built it up, and he gave us some insight then, which is coming true. And so I just really want to take the time to kind of talk about Hank in that 3 year period. And I think for me, we kind of talked about this off camera, but the epitome is that relationship that he has in New York. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But apart from that, what other things do you guys think happened?
You're talking about in the distance?
In the 3 years that they...
Yeah, just in general.
Warp speed ahead. Like, I didn't know that they were going to do that. I guess you had the inside scoop. But I was really surprised with that because I felt like that's a huge amount of time. And I see movies do it all the time 7 years later. I didn't expect them to do that with Californication. So I'm a little bit surprised that they fast-forwarded it so much. But because I think they needed to... They probably thought in their mind they needed to progress the storyline. I'm not quite sure why they did that, but we see Hank going from JFK, or that's the name of the episode, JFK to LAX, but we see him going from New York back to LA.
Yeah, well, it started off, you see him in his new life, I guess,
right.
The New York life. But you know what, the way he talks, I mean, and I've seen some of the earlier seasons or whatever, he hasn't changed too much. We're going to talk about 3 years.
He's still the
same guy. We do see him with this one particular woman, and it does seem as if, they end up having a falling out or whatever.
Right at the restaurant?
At the restaurant.
Yeah,
she gets really loud and talks about, you know, some stuff, and she walks out. But it does look like maybe he was serious with her. We don't really know for sure what happened.
We later figure on that he was kind of serious, but I think they
like living together, or she lived in the house.
Yeah, they opened up the first scene of this show, I think, giving us an example that Hank hasn't changed one bit, like you said.
Yeah.
But that also he still has these dramatic relationships with these girls who, whatever crazy reason. I don't know if he puts it on him or what he does in the bedroom. Fall in love with him, knowing against their better judgment that they should not talk to someone like Hank Moody.
Yeah, for the sake of the show, he sure does have game. I mean, he gets on he goes to JFK, he gets on the plane, and then we see his encounter with Megan Good, the actress, which caused you to say what? Do that again?
I said,
yeah. So
I mean, she's fine, you know.
Well, real quick, I want to ask you this, because for me, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Charles Bukowski, the writer. Hank is sort of, for me, the modern age Charles Bukowski. And as much as, you know, the whole big thing with him was, you know, I got to get to New York, L.A., and California sucks. And, you know, this whole thing, I don't think he really is New York. He's much more of the laid-back California tie-dye kind of guy.
I so agree with you with that. He's not New York at all.
Yeah, but I feel like that was – why did they even try to sell us that he was leaving? Did they decide at the last minute that they were going to write that out of the show and bring him back to L.A.?
Well, sorry, I'm not sure I understand.
Like, I feel like I feel like he never really needed to go to New York. He could have had this relationship here in L.A.
No, but that – well, then that keeps it kind of the same, and it goes to what Phil was saying. You're in this zone where, like, you said he wanted to leave? Like, that was, like, his thing?
But he, like, left at the end of the season, and then, like, now he's back.
I think that's good. That's good for the show. There are people that need to go and find themselves or make a change. I mean, I lately have been embracing the city that I grew up in, Southern California, but there was a big moment for me where I was like, I'm dying, and still, to some degree, always want to go live in New York for a 2-3 year span just to have that. I mean, I did stay in Weehawken, New Jersey for a quick, you know, 4 months or whatever in years past, but I think that was good for the show. I actually thought, even though we didn't see New York at all, we saw it just a little bit, we didn't necessarily see if he became a New Yorker. That wasn't even the point. The point was, it's like after some time you're like complaining or whatever, or you said he didn't want to be in Los Angeles. He wanted to go.
The problem was, you know, he didn't grow up in New York, but he grew up on the East Coast, and they started off their family, and that's where him and Karen and Becca was bliss.
Yeah.
Over in New York, and then he really feels, you know, that's where the pit comes from, is that California ruined what he had with Karen, and that's what this California story has been all about, is him and Karen. And, you know, ironically, it never gets old. But him going back in these 3 years, he thought, okay, I can amend that. I could regain what I used to have. And no, that's not the case.
Problems are still problems. Yeah.
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 So
totally agree. So we see him get on the plane. He hops on a plane back. He's going to go visit his family. And in the midst of that, like you said, he meets Megan Good.
We don't even know if he was going to go back to New York or whatever, because he says, I'm going to come out there for a couple days.
To L.A.
That was the original. Yeah,
he's coming back to L.A.
And he puts on some insane moves on Megan Good. You know, we see the character. She's wearing the tightest dress that ever can be worn physically, you know, just at all. He flirts with her.
Inside jokes about, like, a pool and on her lap, getting her wet like a pool.
Yeah, like you said, getting her wet. Yeah, yeah. That part did show up on the show. And then they exchange seats or whatever for a little bit. And then there is the potential Mile High Club situation that is about to go on, where she says, well, I'm going to go to the restroom and
I'm not going to lock the door.
And as it's about to happen, you know, it doesn't happen because of the
interruption.
Somebody does barge in on them. So we see him get to LAX. He's back home now. You just feel the West Coast vibe the way it was shot. I thought it was kind of cool. And their exchange is like, okay, we're going to talk, and she's like, no, she just like kind of peaced out. She's like, I'm good. But
I
knew
like that though.
Yeah. Well, and you knew us watching, you were like, I guarantee they're gonna run into each other.
Why did you like that?
I liked that there was still something left to the imagination, and I think men oftentimes need that if you give them everything they want up front. So if she would have given him his Mile High fantasy, he probably wouldn't have called her the next day. It would have just been a hookup.
But it's not to say she wasn't going to do it. She was ready.
She was down. Yeah. But I like that they didn't. I like that something got in the way of their little moment of passion, so that he could still be on her brain. You know, because obviously you could see. No pun intended. But later on, you know, still wanting her and having that desire, because we see in the previews later on that he can't get her off his mind.
Right.
And you always want what you can't have. So now he's just, you know, curious about
how she feels. That's the spicy tip of the day for sure. and then he immediately goes and stays with, I guess that's his, like, agent to some degree.
Runkle. What I liked, you know, I forget who he says it to, but, you know, he's talking about Runkle and writing the book. As we see him in New York, he wrote the book Californication about all of this. And he says, I think it's actually with RZA. who he's having a conversation with because he's hired to do this project, the movie, and he says, yeah, Runkle's always good for a laugh. Which he is. That's what Runkle is. He's just good for a laugh. He's a riot.
Relief.
And he got his 100th bang in this show today. Wasn't that like a big deal
for
him?
Yeah, he's been trying to get this for like a long time
For a long time, yeah.
But one thing I like about Runkle is that he's not very attractive on the show. I'm sure in real life he maybe downs himself down for the show. But I was a huge fan of his on Sex and the City. And so now his character in Californication is completely different. So I love that I'm able to see his range. Right. And his being silly and just fun. And him embracing like, okay, I'm not the most attractive person, but I'm just going to get just as much, you know, bedroom action as you, Hank. And he does that.
Not just as much because Hank's like barely 100. I was like 17.
Well, Hank can like snap his fingers and get a girl, but I love that Runkle doesn't think that he can't. Like, Runkle doesn't think that it's impossible for him. He still has confidence, you know?
Everyone's doing it because his ex, you know, I guess when he's exchanging the kid.
Marcy?
Yeah, she's over there, you know, taking care of business as well with the guy.
Marcy's another character that I am crazy about. She's another one that whenever I see any women on television whose role they get to be sexually empowered, I love and find fascinating because I feel like years ago it was unacceptable for women to even talk about sex. And now when you have a character on a show like this who is sexually empowered, they're running it in the bedroom, they get it whenever they want from whoever they want, when they want. I mean, I love it. I love that Marcy really owns it.
Here's an insider tip. I don't know if she's exactly like that character sexually, but from meeting her in real life, she is that nuts, that outgoing. She is that eccentric. Again, I don't know how she is
there
in the bedroom.
A little truth, but
that was a good exclusive right there.
I was gonna say, okay, so you know the real her, but you don't know how she is in the bedroom. Okay, all right.
I mean, hey, if I have a chance to find out, I'll let you guys know. I'll take it for the team.
Spicy Muddy wants to know if you are the sex fiend that you play. We're going to have to ask her that if we can get her on the show.
We'll ask her.
We will get her on the show.
We hope she don't slap you in the face.
I don't think she will.
What if she's like, you know, smooth.
He's got the, you know, he knows what to say.
What if she's like a real prude, like, you know, quiet kind of, but you said she's pretty crazy.
No,
so.
Here's what she said to me. Darling, I will talk to you in one moment. I just need to get this drink in me.
Oh, so AfterBuzz exclusive.
And to that, you can say, what else would you like inside of you? I mean, and I'm like the super PG guy, but I just said that. Why?
That was very X-rated.
Now, to my
it
defense,
wasn't that bad.
To my defense, this is from only meeting her once, so who knows? Maybe that, you know, it was a fun day for her. I don't know, but she's very fun. If nothing else, she's very fun.
Darling, she said, darling.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
okay,
I love
cool.
her character.
Made for an awkward scene though a little bit because then the guy that was you know, giving her a little attention, he ended up like hugging what's his name, Hank. He ended up hugging him while. Taking a pill, not Viagra, but it was Niagara.
Niagara. I haven't heard that one before. Yeah. I was like, Niagara, I guess that one lasts, like, he said 9 hours
or
something like that.
And he's like giving Hank like a hug, like a legitimate. It was just interesting.
That's the, they all, I mean, Runkle, now Stu, which by the way, Ronnie, since you don't know, Stu was kind of a major plot point last season, especially with the Marcy and Runkle scenario. And so now he's a friend. And it's just so, I want to ask you guys, in LA, like, are people this friendly? Because we know they're close acquaintances, but like Spicy, like if Ronnie walked in on you naked banging your boy, would you be like, yeah, what's up? We haven't seen you in a while.
How personal is this getting?
Okay.
Wow.
Ronnie,
I'm going to include you in that conversation.
Like the exception to
I was
going to
say,
like,
yeah, you can't really break her down.
I'm probably comfortable being naked in front of anybody. And so I'm kind of probably like the wrong person to ask just because I'm free. But I'm from San Diego. So I don't know if I would represent LA that well because San Diego, we speak to everybody. We have everything to smile about. We're very friendly. But these people aren't from LA. They're from the East Coast, remember?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean there's not LA from the East Coast type people or from wherever. The LA thing is always interesting because there is no one who's actually from Los Angeles.
Right, they're actually here.
When you say somebody from LA acts this way, I mean, the people that are from here, I mean, yes, there's a handful that are also like within this Hollywood thing, but you know, there's a lot of like the outskirts or whatever. And I grew up in the South Bay, you know, it's just 40 minutes away. But it's, you know, you stare at Hollywood, but you definitely ain't Hollywood to any degree.
And most
but,
people who have that reputation for being LA, it's a pattern that they got once they got here from being around other
that's
people.
That's like
and then all of a sudden they become supposed to be
right,
that way.
And then all of a sudden they become LA. They
it's
become
not even
Hollywood.
A geographical thing. It's like a what you become when you get into this. You would more say it's a Hollywood thing versus like the location, even though Hollywood's a location. I definitely think, you know what, these shows, of course, they live a fantasy to some degree, but I don't know. I'm saying there's crazy enough people, and not crazy. That's not crazy. It's sexually empowered, as you say, which, you know,
you.
Some of the things she says, I'm like, wow, I guess you can be very sexually empowered as a person. It's crazy. But I think there's people, not everybody, but I think that stuff definitely could go on. I'm not closing my mind to the fact that that is
anything is possible.
Legit, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, in terms of that embrace with him and Stu, you know, there's a lot of notion of how much things have changed in these 3 years.
Right.
And that embrace shows me that, you know what, maybe they haven't changed as much as we think, even though in Hank's mind, this whole world is chaos. I don't know. What's your guys' take, especially with going on? You have Becca dating, you have Karen now with the new guy. Which I believe he's from season 2, right, Spicy?
I don't remember this new guy.
No, but right, I think he's from season 2.
When did she hook up with? No, last time she was with the black guy.
Yeah, last time she was with the black guy, but now it's.
So who is this new guy that came? I don't remember him at all.
I think I'm pretty sure it's season 2 where Hank's writing the book or the biography about the guy, right? The rocker.
Oh, that's who she's with. I was trying to figure out this entire episode, where have I seen him before and when did he come into the scene? So Karen got back with him from the past.
Yes, it's past relationship.
Okay, got it. Okay.
But just in terms of general, like, you know, do you guys, and it's a tough question to ask of Bam and Ronnie, but nonetheless, I do want to ask it, have things changed that much? You know, is this a different California from what Hank's used to?
He didn't make it look like things were so out of whack. I just think he was adjusting. I don't think, you know, his reactions weren't that everything was so different.
But I think he expected to come back and it'd be exactly the same, you know?
And there was some life that had moved on with or without him, you know, and maybe that'll get him. Is he the type that gets pissed off about that? I mean,
I think it was more.
He plays it so cool.
I think he was realizing, like, nobody really needs me. It's not going to be as easy as I thought. Because Hank is the type of person who usually gets what he wants effortlessly, and he's not held accountable for any of his actions.
And even early on in this episode, he did, once things got good with that girl again, he was talking about, take me back to the airport. I'm going back home. We did see that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he probably saw it and was like, oh, they don't really need me. And she was now willing, you know, she was like, oh, I'm at your house. Where are you at? And then she texted him again and again and again. And then it got lit up. Yeah, completely.
But I love when he gets back with Karen and her new husband. I can't remember his name. Phil, do you know his name?
I don't.
Okay. Well, Karen and her new husband. And she's constantly, like, kind of being snarky with Hank and saying, like, yeah, he's just like you. Mm-hmm. He's an asshole, except for he's awesome. Like, she's kind of throwing it in Hank's face, knowing that Hank is still in love with her. But this is kind of her way of expressing a little bit, I think, of her resentment towards Hank.
And this is Karen, right?
This is Karen. Because Karen's always wanted to be with Hank. At the end of the day, I don't care what people say.
Yeah.
We want them together.
I just want to say, I think Karen, the way she looks, the way she talks, the way she acts, is exactly what Hank would have had the baby's mother. Like, that is exactly I guess maybe they were married at some point. That, to me, was just like, it's the perfect, it's very believable.
Did he ever give her ring? He never gave Karen. They never officially married, did they? That's always his baby mama. Yeah.
No, they never officially married.
How old's the daughter? The daughter that's getting around now.
She's now in college, but we've only seen her
young.
They said she was in college now because it's fast forward 3 years later. But we've only seen her as a child. So this is the first time we've seen her supposedly as an adult. But she.
And sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no,
interestingly enough, like you know, in the past seasons, we've kind of seen a resemblance between Karen and Becca.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think, I mean, right? You see Karen's face in Becca,
like
more
so. In the eyes.
And the face shape too.
It's like
I would
a pain
say
behind the eyes, and I do see what you're saying about as far as the jaw structure. But
wait, you're just talking about actresses that just happen to look alike.
But they really, to me, don't necessarily.
That means the show's doing good. If it's fooling you like that.
But they haven't ever, to me, like resembled each other like dead on.
Oh, okay.
But I do see what you're saying, and that could just be. I mean, they say when you spend enough time with someone, you start to look like them.
Yeah.
But I definitely see that Becca's growing up a little bit more, but her personality hasn't changed at all either. She's still the dry humor, attitude, smarky little child that we see when they're
sitting. Is she resisting her dad more now, or...
He's always been a huge disappointment to her. One thing about Hank is that he's a disappointment to everybody. There's a kind of a lot of characteristics between him and Frank from Shameless that you'll see. It's that they are huge, you know, F-ups. And everybody has to clean up their mess for them. And so Becca's a little bit nervous to introduce Hank to her boyfriend because she thinks that, you know, she's probably going to scare her boyfriend off.
Right.
But her boyfriend stood right up to Hank.
And let me ask you this. I mean, we've always seen Becca be sort of the more adult person in this relationship between her father and her. And she's actually told him, like, Dad, you have to do this in order to fix your F up. Now, do you think she's past that point and she's moved on to a new F up with the boyfriend? Or do you actually believe that this guy's good?
Good one. Yes.
Ew. Okay.
She's now moving on. She's now putting her energy into this new
F up or not F up.
Oh, he's an F. You know what? I think that that's a great point. I think that's a great AfterBuzz prediction too. But a lot of times, as women, we tend to date men who are just like our fathers or what we think that our fathers are. And I can see her making the same mistakes with the men that her mom made.
So it's like she was dealing with him, the dad. That wasn't a love, 100% love relationship. It wasn't I hate my dad. It was just dealing with him. And now she's moved on to I'm dealing with this other guy. But she likes him, of course, loves him and everything.
She's seen her dad like sleep with other women, cheat on her mother, crash car. Like, he's done so many things that are irresponsible. So I can see her dating another rebel with a cop. You know,
yeah, like, he's gonna cheat on her, and she's gonna deal with it, and it's gonna be
exactly.
We'll see that. I think that would be.
She's gonna wind up getting someone just like her dad, who she kind of. There's like a love hate relationship between her and her father. She always forgives him, no matter what mistake he makes.
Right. Well, it's unconditional.
But I think that's a great point, Phil.
I think so too.
I can totally.
I made it.
I can totally see that happening.
Before we kind of conclude this episode, but let's talk about the kind of through line that I think will be
for the season.
Yeah, for the season with him sort of writing this movie. Obviously, he doesn't ask Runkle any questions. He says, "I have a job for you. No questions asked. Got to go to L.A." And then it's like, "Oh wow, this is the job you came up with for me." So, what are your thoughts on this?
On him working on this project with Rizzo?
Well, what makes it good, what makes it so Megan good is that, you know, the Rizzo's character in this show, right back at you, he is going to collaborate with Hank now for this project.
Right.
Like you said, no questions asked. It's just go time. And you knew as soon as, like, Hank stepped away from her, you knew she'd be back in the show some way, somehow. And I guess that is the Rizzo's character is with the Megan Good character. And she opens up with saying, "Hi, nice to meet you," which didn't give anything away. Actually, anything she said didn't give anything away. But she goes, "Oh, excuse me." And she dropped a little bit of the drink on him. And she said the exact same quote he said when he spilled the
pool comment.
Your flood. I don't know what you would say that better.
But, like, I love anytime that there's a sexual tension element.
Yeah.
And I think that they're bringing that into the storyline with Megan Good. So I think this is going to be juicy because one thing that she has mastered in every role that she has played is this, like, sex kitten.
Yeah.
And I know she tries to get away from those roles.
No, she don't.
But she has said she wants to play different characters. But, girl, you hit it on the money. I mean, she is a sexy thing.
Yeah. She said that she's like complaining.
She wants it. Well,
he said online. He said online she has like the nip slips and everything. So I don't know if she's really. I mean, obviously, maybe it was a mistake, but I mean, she seems like she is embracing this role.
She embraces it very well. Anytime you see her out, you know, the boobs are out. You know,
I mean,
she's typecast. Is that? I mean,
absolutely, she's typecast. Yeah.
But she would like to do other stuff. Yeah, well. But we always see her play these roles, and she hits it on the money. Whenever we see other girls try to play these roles that Megan Good plays, we're always like, "Oh, Megan must have been busy, like for you to have done it." You know,
and that does come up a lot. Yeah.
And so when we see Megan in a role like this, we're like, "This is you, girl. Just embrace it because you do it better than anybody."
Yeah. But by the way, I will say, you know, being a quote whore, whatever, I don't know.
Wait,
whatever
term.
She's not a whore. She's like a sex kitten.
It's like, okay, being a sex kitten on Californication versus like other roles, that's to be a sex kitten on Californication is like, you know, that's that's worthy. You want to be that.
It is like a role, yeah,
this
actually.
This is a huge role for her.
It's like, a huge role, and it's a very popular show. Yeah. It does well in the ratings, and so...
It gives her a little credibility. It's not just... Like, if she did this exact role, but she did it on...
I know exactly what I'm going to say. The fact that it's... The fact that
you know what I'm going to say?
I know where you were going with this. To be on like The Game and some of those other shows where she's kind of playing the same thing over and over, like this show has a bigger audience.
Right.
So to be a part of something that most minority actresses won't be able to get on, and to play for a show like this,
right?
It helps her.
AKA meaning Gabrielle Union would have probably taken this role too, right? That type of character, that type of, you know.
She can't play sexy.
Gabrielle's a different lane.
You don't think Gabrielle could play that? It's a character though. It's a role. What's wrong with that? I don't know.
I feel like they both have created really big names in Hollywood for black women, and they get a lot of work. But I think that they have two different essences.
Yeah.
Gabrielle plays usually like strong, respectful, strong black woman. And Megan Good always gets the like sexual, sex, like she's this like seductor. Is that a word? Seductor? I don't know if that's a word. She's like a siren role.
What does Phil say? When we say it here, it becomes a word.
Man.
So there you go.
She plays the siren role.
The two of them are actually going to be in a new movie this March called Think Like a Man, that's based off the Steve Harvey book.
They've been in a movie together before.
Let me cut you off because it sounds like we're pretty much getting into the news. So real quick, before we get into our news, why don't we take a quick commercial break? Bam's got some awesome news for us. I love Bam with his news. I'm excited to hear
social
all about
media.
It. So we'll be back right after this.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire, to American Idol, to Vampire Diaries, to Real Housewives, and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Oh, hey.
Welcome back, guys. Before we get into the news and gossip, I do just want to say thank you for rejoining us for another season. We did season 4 with you guys. Thank you for listening. If you're a new fan, welcome, welcome. We appreciate you. And why not tell a friend? Whether you're a returning player, a new player, spread the word. We love that. And speaking of word, what is the word with the news and gossip?
Oh, listen to this.
Hello.
Bam.
Well, all right. So Californication debuted. It dropped in the ratings. It had a million. It had 1.03 million viewers, and it was beat up by the new show for Don Cheadle on Showtime called House of Lies.
I wonder how is.
So it debuted number one.
They've been saying that's good. People, I think, even tweeted after Buzz saying you should jump on. Right, oh. Phil? I don't know.
I believe.
But yeah, it beat out Shameless and Californication.
Oh, what a mistake. Yeah.
But I mean, it's the first show everyone always tunes in.
We should have seen it though, so we could have been able to compare. Yeah.
That's true. We're just gonna watch every show. I'm just like quitting life and just watching TV
all day. Hopefully the ratings
paying no bills except my cable. Yeah.
Hopefully the ratings doesn't drop too much because I know it's pretty expensive. David Duchovny, he gets $2.25 an episode. So I hope they don't.
But the good news of all of that, though, is that these are all Showtime shows. So I think, you know what I mean? I think it'll start to build upon each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love what Showtime is doing. But I don't understand how the show can be that expensive. It's not like they have special effects like cars blowing up. And is it maybe like it's the actors that cost the most?
It's probably the actors. And he's getting the most, obviously, $20,000 to $25,000 an episode. But with a million viewers weekly, I mean, that's good for a network. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And he has negotiating power because he can't be replaced.
Absolutely. If he's gone, the show is gone.
If he's gone, we're gone. Yeah.
But in other news, RZA is he was promoting a character that he plays, Apocalypse Samurai, on the show, and he was recently on
Apocalypse Samurai. That's so crazy to me. Okay. Yeah.
Well, he was on Chelsea Lately and Craig Ferguson, and he was talking about the difference with him acting now. And now he's chose not to smoke weed or to drink versus when he was doing music. Weed and alcohol kind of gives him his creative juices. Mm-hmm. But to be taken more serious as an actor, he's decided now no more drinking and no more smoking.
Oh, wow.
So congratulations to him. And then
so
also,
acting is making him be more healthy.
Yeah. And he has his new directing. He has a directing debut October of 2012 called The Man with Iron Fist. So he has a film that he's directing. And I actually ran into Suprema of the Wu-Tang Clan, and he said that they'll be touring this year. So the whole Wu-Tang.
So he's covered acting. He's got his directing going.
He's definitely
on.
Been broadening his thing for a little bit.
And that's absolutely good because, I mean, when you're like almost 40 and you're rapping.
You gotta. He has been. He's done like scores on movies or soundtracks at least. I can't think of the ones right away. So that's good. He does want to be taking more.
Let me ask you, is he parodying himself then on the show with the comment he made of like, you know, I've conquered music, now I want to get into movies?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just a good move. He's got to make bigger checks and sustain himself in this thing. But if he doesn't want, if he wants to get taken more seriously, the weed and all that, okay, nice, you know, cute, whatever. But my thing is, the speech thing has always been an issue. So maybe that could be something to get together because he's got quite a slur. I mean, it's okay, and it was probably really okay, you know, the Wu-Tang days, of course, you know, Staten Island, let's go, you know. But
it's not good to watch
when you see him talk to Chelsea. Did she make fun of it? I mean, I'm assuming she might have like laughed about that. But then speech is nothing to laugh about. So okay, go back.
I'm gonna
to you,
really
Ram.
Focus in on his role though, just because I take it more seriously when any artists that are singers or rappers try to cross over into the acting world. I'm gonna be 10 times more judgmental because I feel like they don't always take it as seriously. Yeah. Take the craft. And so I don't know anybody yet has mastered it as well as Mos Def. I think that's someone who's done a great transition.
I like the Italian name several, job. Yeah.
I can name several.
The rappers that have crossed over into acting and done a great job, name some.
Will Smith.
Okay, he doesn't count.
Why not?
He's
a rapper.
He's like a god. Oh. He's like an icon.
Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah's
okay,
good.
Okay, she's good. She's really good. Queen Latifah has. Yeah, that's true.
You're just saying, I think she's just saying it's a challenging thing. It's not a given.
That wasn't several. That was a couple.
I mean, go there, but we don't have enough time. But yeah, I get what you're saying because there's a lot
really
of rappers,
hard.
They step in and they just think they can, yeah.
In other words,
he's doing this project, but Redman and Method Man did How High, okay?
Yeah,
so it's
on,
like, it's a difference.
It's a challenge.
Absolutely. And I know I totally respect him for that. But I wonder when he goes on tour with Wu-Tang, will he go back to smoking?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Right?
I mean, but at the end of the day, I hate to say this, but this was probably just a PR little thing. Not that he's not smoking weed or not, but it's just like, you know, it was packaged up. The PR people were like, okay, Chelsea's people. Yeah. They came in, they did the pre-interview. I mean, I'm just saying the way that
Let's
I feel like
that
it
you
is.
Stop smoking.
Yeah, it becomes the underlining thing. That's so.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
And then one more thing. Speaking of Megan Good, Megan Good has a couple movies that she's doing. She has Think Like a Man. That's with the Ensemble Black cast.
And I read that book. I'm excited to see the film.
Oh God, you read
Act
the book?
Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm a Steve Harvey fan.
No comment. Well, it's an all-star cast. Sorry, it's an all-star cast.
You're not going to go see it. You're going to support it.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go see it. I mean, it has all the actors that I want to see. It has Gabrielle Union, it has Kevin Hart, it has Michael Ealy, of course, Megan Good. So it's an all-star cast. So, of course, and Taraji Henson,
who I
absolutely love. So I'm definitely going to go see it. And then she's also filming Resident Evil right now. That should be coming out at the end of the year.
So she's hitting that, like, sci-fi, like, horror. Yeah.
I do like when they do everything. When they do, they
she
do
did Saw
that.
Before.
And this is a good move. So, okay, so she's doing the Black movie, so that's cool. But now she's doing Californication, and now she has another movie. So it's good to... If you want
to be taken
as a serious actress, then you need to.
Do you know who I like that? This is a little off topic, but actress wise, who I think does a lot of different types of films. This is actually one of the entertainers that I would like to meet and slash would be a tad nervous to interview. Rosario Dawson is sort of that person. I mean, from when you go from the kids her. To rent to she's your friend. What
I said, I met her.
Oh, you met her. To like, you know, she spoke at the Obama inauguration back when, and she did Voto Latino, which was like empowering Latinos to vote. I mean, I love people that just hit every the stoner movies too.
Rosario has never been typecasted. She has from the beginning been hustled. She's always been able to transition into any film, any role.
So I'm just saying, like, these people, Megan Good is talking about, I want to transition. RZA is saying, I want to be taken seriously. Yeah. I'm saying there are certain entertainers, you take you go from the book, you look at their book and see how they did it, because she really
that's
is.
That's a great example for
she
her
is
follow.
The one, you know, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah.
Even within our own careers, we try to like, you know,
we're like, we're
going to
do this After Buzz show so we can branch out.
Or, you know, something. But that was a good report.
Well, thanks. So you've been buzzed.
Prediction.
You're After Buzz TV. Prediction.
Why does it have to be so scary? I feel like it's like,
and it's like the end of the night.
Haunted,
there's been like 18 shows.
I have to walk to my car by myself.
Okay, predictions.
Anything you guys foresee in your crystal ball?
I just think just a lot with the behind the back of RZA not knowing his character, which you said the whole name a second ago. Him not knowing
Apocalypse
what's going on.
Samurai.
Yeah, the samurai.
That's a joke.
Him not knowing what's going on with, you know, his girl and Hank. There'll be a lot of that. It'll
They're
be
hooking
a lot
up
of,
behind his back.
So many close calls, and
wait, Ronnie, I'm gonna have to disagree with you on that, because in the preview clip we get the he's by the pool and RZA is like, "What are you doing with my girl?"
So
there's no behind the back. It's just
no, but that's just a comment though.
That's
instinct. We're all yeah.
That's just
oh
instinct.
Wait, how did he say it though? That's the question.
All right, so. Are you saying they're just teasing me and they're just fooling me and
yes,
leading
possibly,
me down a bad
maybe,
path?
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay,
like
I'm
he
spicy.
Just has like a little bit of instinct.
But we could do a fear factor bet. Like if one of us is wrong, like one of us has to eat an insect or something, Phil, for the fear factor. Sorry, I'm just segueing everything.
I'll do that.
Come on, Phil. Let's get in the fear factor
thing.
I think
he's not going to find out, and he's going to catch Megan and Hank together. What's Megan's good name on the Californication show? Do we know her name on there?
I don't think, right? That's the
her
thing
name?
We don't know.
They haven't told us yet. Okay.
Shody.
Shody.
Yeah. That's her name right now.
Well, I think that, of course, her and Hank are going to sleep together because he gets the booty from everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to see some, like, of course, love, friction, and tension between him and Karen. But I think that she's going to cheat on her husband with Hank. Like, she cheats on every man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Because
I mean, not cool for real life, but for the show.
Yeah, but no.
I love to watch these shows. There's
like,
fantasy.
They have this tension where they still want each other. You know, she went and married someone who's just like Hank. You know,
better,
she loves
but
her.
Awesome.
She loves her some asshole. And I think that we're going to see with Becca, you know, like how Phil predicted. I thought that was a great AfterBuzz prediction, that she got herself a jerk, too.
I have one prediction. My prediction is they will do better in the ratings next week.
Yeah. I agree. I hope. That's fingers crossed.
All
why,
right.
Why do you predict that? Why do you think that?
Well, because with new shows, you always go and watch the first show. Like when you think about 2 Men and a Half with Ashton Kutcher, it was like almost 25 million people. And then the second week, it like went down to 17.
You're like, so, wasn't worth it.
Oh, it was like a stunt almost because you wanted to see Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, you want
to
see what happens.
So you see what happens the first week. And then, of course, people just go into... they forget about it. So,
like, Californication has the run. It's been around for a long time. People will end up back there, but
we're
they're gonna go see. They're gonna see House
good.
Of Lies. They're gonna go see. Yeah. Is it Kristen Bell in that? You know, they're gonna go.
It's
go
with
look.
Don Cheadle. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a great fan of Don.
Oh,
Don's,
I
but,
did want to see that. Okay. I have Comcast. I have on demand. I'm good.
Yep.
Ronnie, you're gonna have to come over and watch it with me.
Boom.
Another
and
show
I also
boom.
Think
have to do.
I also think in terms of the rating, that's the problem. They don't account for what's called
downloads or
DVR plus 7 or something like that. Live plus 7. It's the live viewership plus 7 days after.
Yeah, the ratings, doesn't it take with the DVR, doesn't it take like a week or 2 weeks before those count?
Well, right now it doesn't take into consideration DVR fans like ourselves. Like, I didn't watch it live, you know what I mean? But
I
recorded it and I watched it after the fact. So you know, but that's not taken into account, and people are now saying it should.
I used to be a Nielsen's member.
Oh, yeah. I should definitely know this. But do the networks? Do they only account everything these days in the technology world? Do they only account everything on ratings when they make the decisions to drop shows? Because
yeah.
it's just so. It just sucks because there's so much more
Are
than
you
just
so
the rating.
About how to make it in America?
Not even going on that. But
I think
like,
I think it's the ratings, and then also the costs.
Oh, the ratings in the but class. Also, but it's like, gosh, there's so many things that are like buzzworthy and viral. Like, I'm going to even talk about Megan Good. I don't think Megan Good is as big. Like, she's big. I always felt like she was a bigger, like, just as far as people talking about her. And the she's on, you know, the bossup.com world star. She's like everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. So any film she does, it's like, is she that popular? Well, online,
wait,
she certainly
is. I'm gonna throw some hatred out into the world and probably take a lot of heat for this. But, you know, TBS. Conan, you left NBC and you said you would have a fan base, right? You and your fans. And then you come to TBS, and where's the fans? You have the same ratings, if not worse.
They're worse.
And you know what? Why? Because you are critically acclaimed. And that's the thing, like Californication, it's mm-hmm. critically acclaimed. And, you know, that's why it actually works in the favor of Californication, because it's so great that's what right. saves the show too. And in the case of Californication, it has a loyal audience, like I guess with Conan. Where, you know, here's a Hank shirt, people will go out and buy it. I mean, Oprah is fighting for 200,000 viewers on her damn network.
What? That's what she's fighting for?
That's what she's fighting for. Yeah, we get that here, you know, for a show.
She needs to put AfterBuzz on there because we would help her out. Yeah. That's Oprah. Crazy.
She's dropping the ball.
Oprah.
Just kidding.
Call us.
Well, you know, yeah.
424-256-1729.
We'll talk to Gail even. We'll even accept Gail.
We'll do a show for you. Put AfterBuzz on the Oprah Winfrey.
I love that passionate rant, though. I think that
I can't wait to take heat for that.
Yeah, well, tweet him at PDSVTech, I guess.
SVITEK, yes. But more importantly, tweet AfterBuzz. Tweet AfterBuzz. And tweet these guys. Let's go around the table, starting with you, Spicy.
I will respond to your tweets if you play with my Twitter. My tweet, my, I was going to say.
Oh my God, thank God you didn't say twat.
But you did.
I know, right? You said it for me. My Twitter is spicy, SPICY _MARI. Spicy _ Mari. Tweet at me.
Don't play with my Twitter at all. But it is at Ronnie Jr. Media. Moving on.
I have a Twitter. Mine is at Bam Erickson, BAMMERICSCN. But it's better to follow me on Facebook.
And follow all these great shows on AfterBuzz. We, of course, have the Facebook page. We are on Ustream. YouTube. Go to the YouTube thing and the iTunes. And also, let me tell you, follow all the other shows. Today, me and Spicy Mari got a chance to see some of the other great hosts that we never even met. I mean, Courtney I knew, of course. But, I mean, there are so many great shows right. and so many great hosts. So this is a big representation on AfterBuzz. So show it some support, okay?
And yes, thank you. Thank you. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.
Californication!
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.